Let us pray. You have given us your word, Holy Lord. Help us to plant its meaning, its purpose, and your will into our hearts. Amen. Horval Sash had a very humble job in an office of the largest corporation in the world. He worked as a gopher in the lowest reaches of the building, doing what he could to help other people with their jobs. Often he caught himself wondering and thinking about the floor above his. And there came a day when Horval saw a bug scurrying across the floor as a mailroom clerk, and he only had bugs to command because of his job. And so he raised his foot to flatten the bug when the bug said, "Spare me," a speaking bug. So he spared the bug. The bug's reward, or his reward, would be a wish. So Horval requested, "I wish to be promoted to the second floor." Granted. Horval's boss told him the very next day. And so Horval marched up to the second floor like MacArthur and Patton all rolled up into one. But wait, Horval heard steps on the ceiling of another floor. There was a third floor. A higher level meant higher wages and more power. So the next day, Horval rose to the third floor to a sales position. He wasn't satisfied. Fully aware that there were other floors, many others, the promotion started coming like kerosene to a flame. He went to the 10th floor and then to the 20th floor, to the 50th, to the 70th floor, and Horval now had his desk on the 96th floor by the indoor pool. The next day, Horval discovered, quite by chance, that there was a stairway leading up to, what? Another floor? So he scrambled to the stairs, and he was on the roof now, and he was the highest, he was the most powerful. Now he could be content. But just as he turned to go back to his office, he saw a boy near the edge of the building with his eyes closed. "What are you doing?" Horval asked. The boy said, "Praying." "To whom?" The boy answered, "To God." Just then, panic gripped Horval. Was there a floor above this? He couldn't see it. It was just clouds. He couldn't hear anything. He couldn't hear shuffling of feet. "Do you mean there's an authority above me?" "Yes." So the bug was summoned once again. "Make me God. Make me the highest," he said. "Put me in the type of position that only God would hold if he were here on earth." And the next day, Horval began working as a gopher in the basement. There may be people in this room that remember an old sitcom called The Jeffersons. Do you remember the theme song? No. "We're moving on up to the east side." Maybe it's the west side around here. "To a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie." Moving on up. Throughout history, it's worked like this. Those are at the top, and they have the power. Kings, landowners, CEOs, the most educated, they're the ones who rule. Those at the bottom do not. Common workers, uneducated, poor tenant workers, those without rights, what do? They serve the ones at the top. In Jesus' day, one of the ways that you served those above you was to wash their feet on a journey when they came into a house. And this job was for those at the lowest rung of society, for the lowest of even servants. This is the context for tonight's scripture. It's an election year, if you haven't noticed. Politics are everywhere. Do you know the dictionary definition of politics? The use of a strategy or intrigue in obtaining any position of power or control, as in business, university, or government. And here we have Jesus. What's he doing on his knees? Even Jesus says to them that he's their master, he is their teacher, he is clearly over them. But this is political upheaval. It's a new kind of politic. It's so upside down because it's not normal. It makes us uncomfortable. No, Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. To which Jesus, in essence, says, well, unless you do this, you can't have a part in me. In other words, that's the way it is with me, Peter. If you want me around or to be around me, you got to get used to this. Jesus twists our world. He twists our ideas all up. He's telling us not to go up the ladder, but to take a journey down. Isn't that, in fact, what the incarnation means? For Jesus, it's a downward journey. God Almighty coming in the flesh, to use Horville Sash's illustration, from the clouds to the bottom floor. And now, tonight's question in our Questions Jesus Ask Us series. Looking up into Peter's eyes, Jesus asks, do you understand what I have done for you? I don't know if I can ever understand how God would come to our world so powerless, as a baby, as a poor baby born to a woman in a scandalous pregnancy in a family on the run. But this is the gospel story of Jesus. Can we ever really understand it? Do you understand what I have done for you? He asks us. Now, we should know that this is a rhetorical question, of course. It's the kind of question teachers use to help make a point, to help us to really get something. It's the kind of question a parent might ask a child. Do you know how much we've done to give you everything you have? You don't answer these questions. You just sit back and wait for the lecture, right? But before Peter can even answer or try to answer Jesus' question, whether he understands it or not, Jesus starts unpacking what he has done. He says, I've given you a pattern, a pattern. Now, for me, the first image that comes to mind with a pattern reminds me of days when I used to sew. Yep, I used to sew. Believe it or not, it was about 24 years ago before I became a mom that was working. I used to sew. But I remember back in the day when I used to sew, I would go to a fabric store, something like Joann's Fabrics, and I would look through books of patterns. Patterns for clothes, patterns for household items you could sew, and costumes, all kinds of patterns. And I would pick out a dress pattern, say, and I'd pull out all the pieces to the pattern, and then I'd pin it against the material I also bought for that purpose. And then I would take my scissors and I would cut it around that pattern. And I learned pretty quickly, if it's cut wrong or if it's put together erroneously, it will not look like the dress on the front of the pattern. So, here's the pattern. For a generation of people who love pedicures so much, a lot of us aren't so sure about this foot washing thing. As it turns out, it seems to me it's not really about the feet, though. It's more than that, because you and I could wash every foot, toe, and toenail in this place and still not get it. We could just simply not understand it. Jesus says, if he is the master, he's the teacher, he washes feet, we should too. And I think Jesus is not really getting only about the feet, the petty part, but I think he might be talking about an impediment, a 14th century word that literally means to shackle the feet. As Christians, if we do not follow this pattern of Jesus, our feet will be shackled. Our ministry will be hindered. It seems to me that when Jesus talks about this example, it's that Jesus' love, Jesus' politic, has nothing to do with top-down maneuverings or even grassroots movements. It's just plain old, across the board, love one another. It pretty much covers everybody. This foot washing is an act of love, and this command means we have to have an adjustment of sorts in our attitudes. We need to realign our values and our relationships. And would you say we even need to see the world a different way? The question, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" leads to a passel of other questions like, do we prefer to spend our time with people who keep us safe and comfortable, people we choose to be with, or with suffering people, or broken people, or people who have just been left out? Sometimes this, like foot washing, makes us uncomfortable. We get exposed to some real hard need. I was so proud of our church the other Sunday when we sent 28 teams out to the community to serve others. Many folks who we would not otherwise run into on any given average day. Hungry, homeless people in a park. Do you understand? Low-income families who have to do their weekly wash in a laundromat mat with quarters. Do you understand? The elderly with dementia and Alzheimer's, some who speak and say the same thing over and over again and which we cannot discern. Do you understand? Who have you come upon in the past few days that makes you uncomfortable? Sometimes we don't have to go very far at all. Sometimes it's when we least expect it that Jesus asks, do you understand? But here's another look at this question. Let's look at it the other way. Let's say the high priest of Israel was there that night, right there in the room with the disciples. Do you think Jesus would have washed his feet too? Let's say, for some of us, it might be harder to extend love to those who are abusing power, who are sticking it to the little man, who are misusing their station in life. Bob and I saw the movie the other week called The Big Short. Wow, it's more like a documentary, and it outlines and explains how the 2008 housing crisis was the result of a market crash and a financial disaster that happened in our country because of greedy and unaccountable institutional banking practices. Could you wash the feet of one who had laid you off? One who had stolen from your pension fund? Who kept your child out of the school that you wanted them to go to? This too stinks of dirty feet. Isn't it true that on that first Thursday holy night, Jesus washed the feet of someone who betrayed him for a price? Judas. Jesus washed the feet of someone who denied him to save his own skin, Peter. Jesus washed the feet of a bunch of deserters, each who surely had their reasons. I give you an example. And then he asks, do you understand what I've done for you? On this holy night, what is your answer to a foot washing, kneeling Lord?